I originally was going to preach on fellowship, and then I was thinking spiritual gifts, and then I remembered that it was Freedom Sunday, and I didn't even realize that it was, and I would have such a passion and a hurt for these people that I don't want to not preach about this. It's just so important. So, I don't want you guys to get too comfortable in your pews, because today we're going to talk about something that takes us all out of our comfort zones. And does anybody know what this is? No, it's not. We are going to be talking about taboos. This is the little buzzer from the Taboo game, if you've played that game before. It's fun. So a taboo is a social or religious custom prohibiting or forbidding discussion of a particular practice or forbidding association with a particular person, place, or thing. If you played Taboo before, then you know what that sound is and what the point of the game is. Taboo is a word-guessing game that has been around since 1989 or back in the day, and the objective is for a player to have the partner's guess the word on their other partner's card without using the word itself. In this game, you purposely avoid using the word on the card to win. In life, we use taboos all the time. We purposely avoid things or topics or even people that can make us feel uncomfortable or put us in uncomfortable situations. You may not even realize it, but taboos are all over the place in our society today. Some current taboos are people who might practice a different religion than us. That makes us feel pretty uncomfortable sometimes. People who are in polygamous marriages, the issue of pro-life versus pro-choice, incestual relationships, acts of pedophilia, comments about race, and there's so many more taboos in this country, in this culture today. All of these things have the tendency to make us feel very uncomfortable because of what both society and sometimes the rituals of religion have laid out for us. Taboos were also very prevalent in biblical times. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to be reading John 4, 1 through 14. This is the famous story that I'm sure all of us know about the woman at the well. A huge taboo during Jesus' time was between the Jews and the Samaritans. In this story, Jesus does three different things for the Samaritan woman. He valued her enough to go find her. Jesus helped the woman come to a better understanding of who God is, and Jesus offered the woman new life. Keep these things in mind while we're reading, and please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." You may be seated. So the first thing that Jesus did for this woman was he valued her enough to go find her. Jesus broke the societal taboo that Jews had in place by talking with a Samaritan woman. In fact, he actually broke two taboos. First off, he was talking to a woman in public, which was completely obscene or unheard of back then. And second, she just happened to be Samaritan. This woman, who had five husbands, was now living with a man who was not her husband. And in fact, she was a taboo herself. She was completely an outcast in her own society, and she was rejected by them because of her past and her present. She purposely chose to draw her water at noon, which was the hottest time of the day, so she could avoid judgment by other Samaritan women. Jesus also did something out of the ordinary to reach this woman. Back in biblical times, if one was traveling from Judea to Galilee, the fastest way to get there was through Samaria. But the Jews hated the Samaritans so much that they would take a longer journey to Galilee. They would go around Samaria. They would purposely avoid Samaria, even if it was a longer and harder journey for them, even if it cost them more resources and everything like that. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Don't we sometimes do the same thing when it comes to neighborhoods that we think might be rough, or even countries that we think won't accept us? Yet Jesus took the faster route to Galilee because he knew that he had to impact the Samaritan woman's life. He not only spoke to her, but he discussed the deep theological truth with her. In her encounter with Jesus, the woman found acceptance, forgiveness, and grace, and a new beginning. Jesus did not define her by her past or her present, but as someone made in God's image and someone who is worthy of love. Our past mistakes don't have to determine our futures. God always offers the chance for new life, and God wants to use his church and this church to offer new life to individuals who have been exploited through human trafficking. The second thing Jesus did was he helped the woman come to a better understanding of who God is. This Samaritan woman was so looked down on by her community that she preferred to face the heat of the day than other Samaritans. I know when I've been ashamed of my sins in my past, I've gone through great lengths to just avoid people that I thought might judge me. And I'm sure we've all done that at some point. And even if it was very inconvenient for me, I would do that before I knew that God would forgive me and take care of me. Jesus cared enough to seek this woman out at a particular well during that particular time. He does the same for us today. Individuals who are victims of human trafficking and exploitation also face prejudice and taboos. I'll admit it, that video we played earlier kind of made me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm sure it might have made you guys feel uncomfortable because it's a taboo. It's something that we don't like to think about. We don't like to talk about. Sometimes we don't even think about it because our society has put it in place that we don't think about it. But these people who are hurting and exploited and completely dehumanized, they need to know that God values them and searches for them just as he did to the Samaritan woman, and just as he does for you and I. If Jesus stayed within the bounds of what society considered acceptable, he would have not even spoken to her. Likewise, we have to be willing to get outside of our comfort zones to reach those in need of God's love. This woman's conversation reveals a few clues about her beliefs about God. She thought of God confined to a place, a well, a mountain, or Jerusalem. She thought of the Messiah as someone who might perhaps come one day, but not someone who would change her present reality. Perhaps, given her background, she thought of God as being for other people, not for her, not for someone like her, not for somebody who has been through the past that she's been through, not for somebody who's been with other people. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. I'm sure a lot of us think that because of our past that God isn't for us, that Jesus isn't for us. And that's not the case. But the good news is that Jesus revealed some truth to her, that God cares more about the hearts of his worshipers than the place they worship, that salvation is immediately available, that God cares enough about her to sit down on a dusty well in the heat of the day and have a conversation with her that would impact her life forever. Today, trafficking victims may also need to understand truths about God, that God is trustworthy, that God is a rescuer, that God seeks after the lost, that no sin is big enough that God won't forgive. Like the woman at the well, trafficking victims today need to find spiritual healing made possible only in Jesus Christ. And the last thing that Jesus did for the woman was that he offered her new life. If you keep reading on past verse 14, you'll find out that Jesus' disciples went into the town to buy food. But when they were in the town, they didn't even speak about Jesus at all to the townspeople, probably because of the taboo that between the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't even comfortable with talking to the Samaritans. Yet the woman abandoned her original purpose of drawing water, left the jar at the well, and ran into the town to tell all the people about this man who just might be the Messiah. And before meeting Jesus, her past condemned her. She had few options but to go from one man to another as a way to survive. Jesus did not judge the woman, but neither did he excuse her sin. Jesus lovingly confronted the woman's past and offered her a chance for a new beginning. There's much we don't know about this woman's story. Where did she sleep that night? What new skills did she learn to survive? What physical or emotional scars needed healing? Did she stay in the village, or did she find a new place where people did not know her past? Likewise, for trafficking victims today, escaping their circumstances is only the beginning. They need treatment for physical and mental wounds. They need to learn new job and social skills. They need to learn how and whom to trust. But this woman's story gives us hope that it is possible. God was in the restoration business then, and he still is today. And so I have this nice, clean $20 bill here that I got from the ATM this morning. And does this bill have value? So if I, Kara, if I gave this to you, would you take it? You want it? It's $20. It's perfect. It looks great. Just got it from the ATM this morning. Are you sure you want to take it? If you found it on the ground, would you pick it up?
Yes.
Evelyn, if I gave this to you, would you take it? So does this, Matthew, would you take it if you found it on the ground? I know Matthew would take it. I'm just kidding. But this bill has value. And the only reason why this bill has value is because our government says that it has value. And it's just a piece of paper. There's other things that are probably a lot more valuable than this, maybe like gold or silver or emeralds, rubies, you know, things like that. But this is paper, just paper. And so our government says that it's worth $20, so it's worth $20. So what if I just messed it up, crumpled it up, twisted it, just threw it around, oh, and dropped it a million times? You know, it's fine. It's all good. What if I did that? Evelyn, would you still take this?
Sure.
Yeah. Kara, would you still pick this up if you found it on the ground? If it, you know, that's just going to keep on happening. You know, people, you know, take permanent markers and write on them sometimes. People get them ripped and you see them taped back up. But even though all of these things have happened on the outside of this bill, it still has value. It is still $20. It is still something that I can go to Starbucks and get some coffee. I can go get some steak, you know? That's pretty tasty. But the point is that no matter what it looks like on the outside, it still has value. It looks like it's been through a rough time. It looks like it's been through some messy situations. It doesn't look pretty. It has been tattered and torn and abused and bruised. And it shows all of this on the outside. And it still has value. Aren't people just like this bill? No matter what we have been through, and whether or not we show it on the outside, we all have been created in the image of God. We have value because He says we have value. Just like the government says that this is worth $20, we have value because God says so. As such, every person we meet has dignity and value. Victims of human trafficking have value as well. People who may not believe the same thing as us have value. People who are in polygamous relationships, they have value. People who have done bad things have value. People who are in incestual relationships have value. People who don't believe the same thing as us politically, people who think on one side or the other with abortion, anything like that, everyone has value no matter who they are, what they believe. And even people who may look scary or dirty on the outside, those people have value too, and they need to be loved. All these people and us are worthy of God's love, and because of this, we should love them and pray for them too. As God's people, it is our job to remind others of their God-given dignity and value in God's eyes. They don't realize. When they look at themselves, they see this tattered and torn and abused person. They don't know. They just don't know that they're loved. And we can show them that love. And so, after all of this talk about taboos and human trafficking, you may still be feeling pretty uncomfortable, but that's okay. God challenges us to break down the walls of our comfort zones and the walls of society and to be more like Him. And that is so uncomfortable. I mean, going in a place that I may not feel safe is uncomfortable, but those people that live in that unsafe community are God's people. And the good news is that right now, our uncomfort right now that we're feeling, we're not alone. Hundreds and thousands and maybe even millions of Nazarenes right now, today, are going through the same thing that we are going through. The great news is that millions of Nazarenes today are praying for these people who are victims of human trafficking, and we are going to join them and do the same. And so now we are going to, before we pray for these people, we're going to take part in something that is sacred in our church. We are going to come to the table and enjoy a meal together, and after taking the elements, please feel free to pray at the altars for these victims of human trafficking who need our help. And if Matthew, if you could come up and help me. So,